We're going to get right into it right now.
Tell me what's really going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
Creative solutions are everywhere.
Leaders lead leaders.
Policies limit behavior. Culture drives behavior.
If not now, then when?
Whatever the best thing we can do as human beings in this moment, in this time in history, we're going to do that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Alien Idea Lab podcast, where we're kicking around interesting ideas with interesting people. And today we have a doozy for you with Rick Winters from the Mayo Clinic. We're talking about coaching, physician coaching in medical education. Rick and I are going to dive into the differences between mentoring, teaching, and coaching, the chessboard of med-ed leadership, blind spots for physician leaders, how to coach a resident who's having issues, which we all could use some help with, and how Rick thinks we can move med-ed forward through coaching. Now, if you don't know Rick, he's a great guy. I've known him back since our days in Fresno, and now he's at the Mayo Clinic, and he's leading the Leadership and Excellence Program for the Mayo Clinic Care Network. He also has an MBA with a graduate certificate in executive coaching. He coaches senior executives, department chairs, medical directors, chiefs of staff. And so we're really lucky to have him here with our audience today. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Rick Winters. So I'm excited to reconnect with you today, Rick, because this is super pertinent to me. I just gave a big lecture to a bunch of paramedics about mentoring, and I was reading the literature to prepare for it, and it's all over the place. Coaching, mentoring, teaching. I don't even know what they mean. So let's just start out. Tell me, what is coaching?
You know, first thing when people think about coaching, there's a couple things. And one is, do you know who Bobby Knight is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Vienna. I'm not that old yet, and you're in the right place. But so the idea of like a coach who is standing on the sidelines, like shouting out what the players should be doing and motivating them by throwing chairs, like that's one kind of view of a coach. That's not, I think, what we're talking about here.
Okay, good.
The other thing is for me, before I learned about what coaching was, I used to think it was people talking about their feelings. And so like you'd sit down in a room with someone who'd be like, no, really, Jeff, tell me, what's your feeling? And it's like mood rings and dream catchers. And it didn't seem like something that would be really that helpful for me. From an emergency medicine perspective, remember the time when emergency physicians weren't emergency physicians. There were a bunch of kind of yahoos who liked the emergency departments and didn't necessarily have the training to be there. And so I think it's up to us as people who are leaders in education and coaches to really further define what the differences between these words are. So I think the question though, what is coaching and how does it differ, for instance, from mentoring or from teaching? I think we all know what teaching is, right? Teaching is like people are listening to the podcast. It's very much kind of a teaching medium. As you're standing up in front of the paramedics, you're teaching them. We're familiar with that. Mentoring is basically when we come from a place of subject matter expertise, when we know there, we've been in the field, we have experience, and someone comes to us and we help them out. Oftentimes that help comes from our own frame of how we've made sense of kind of our own worlds. And so in it, there may be, you know, I hear what you're saying and think about this. I suggest you do this. You may want to approach it in this way. What do you think? That's kind of a mentoring approach. Does that make sense?
I follow. Yeah.
Okay. And so then, what a coach does, a coach, you don't necessarily have to have subject matter expertise. What a coach does is it's more an individual who's there to help the individual process their own thoughts. So they're not, when you're approaching things from a coaching style, you're not telling people what to do. You're actually trying to help them raise kind of possibilities and understand how they're making sense of a problem or the situation that they're in. And so I like to think of coaching like, the old Windows machines, and you start opening up a program and the ball would spin, and then you open another program and the ball would spin, and eventually the kind of the screen freezes up. As we're
still
trying
happens.
To still, it's still totally. Yeah. I spent yesterday fighting my iMac at home. What coaching does though is it's like you think about an individual kind of dealing with a situation and holding all these competing thoughts, and then you just kind of your ball starts spinning and you can't put these things together. So a coach can hold all these different ideas and, you know, say, you know, I hear you saying this, but you also said this, like, how do you put these sorts of things together? That would be a very coach-like approach. And another important thing is a coach doesn't necessarily have a specific agenda. I mean, the coach is really just here to help you process, think, decide what you're going to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's it seems like it's less prescriptive and more exploring that individual than, hey, here's how I did it or here's what I did.
Totally. And it's so easy for us though to go in and like, and to be the mentor, right? I mean, the way we're, I mean, as physicians, basically walk into a room, we take a history, we do a physical exam, and then we write an order, right? We've made a diagnosis, and it's very easy for us to break into that sort of situation when, a mentee or a colleague comes into your office and is asking you actually a pretty complex, adaptive question. The best way to approach it is not from your own mind. It's from like what's best for them.
So then is that the problem that coaching is addressing? Is like, you've piqued my curiosity about this as it relates to med ed. What is coaching the answer to? What problem does coaching fill that isn't filled by the mentorship or by the teaching hat?
Totally. So, deliberate practice. And so deliberate practice, the idea is that you find something that you want to work on basically, and then you work on it and then you review what you've done and figure out how to do things better. You can do that by yourself. So like self-coaching, where you look at, okay, this is what my goal was and how did I do? And this is what I'm going to change. I think from that perspective, you can think about a coach as being someone who's an independent observer, who can then be there and help you kind of, see things in a way that you didn't see, like see through your blind spots. And so just as part of a deliberate practice, it makes sense. I think the big thing is that we have to think about the decisions that we make are quite different. And there are, so there are technical challenges. So technical challenges are things like their skills, like things that we need to learn. And so we can learn how to do, how to enter a central line. That's a technical challenge. And you can see that you can kind of coach someone through it. So I don't know, what do you want to do next? Or what's your next, what are you going to order now? That'd be kind of a coaching like situation. Other things that would be technical would be like learning how to have a difficult conversation with a consultant who's blowing hot air when you're trying to get a patient upstairs. You can actually learn a process of how to go through that. So that's technical. The adaptive stuff. This is the other challenge, which is more difficult for us as individuals to kind of self-coach through, which is dealing with the complexity of the situation. And so it's hard for us to, the metaphor is, so picture me dancing. And I know that's like a pretty good picture. You know, I'm in the middle of a dance floor and, I got the moves.
Oh, it's already in my head. Yeah. It's already there.
Right. So you can see I'm dancing and I got the idea of what I'm doing. I can hear the music and, have a sense of really what's going on in the club, but really from my own personal perspective, an adaptive way of looking at it would be if I were able to be on top of the balcony looking down and I'd see myself dancing. I'd see, the people kind of repulsed in the corner. I'd see the DJ, I'd see the security guard, just a much bigger perspective and how to put this whole huge situation, complex situation into something that's a little bit more real than we ourselves kind of, experience.
Yeah. I mean, thinking of myself, watching myself dance is like my worst nightmare, but I think the analogy works, right? I mean, stepping back and seeing all those moving pieces, I think be incredibly helpful now that I reflect on it.
And I think as physicians, as, educators, as leaders, healthcare is a very complex situation. You're going to, LA, and you got a new job and you're doing education, you're doing research and you're trying to put all this stuff together. It's not like, you can just decide what the moves are because the things are always changing. And so there's a metaphor of the chessboard, which if you want to be good at strategy, what you would do is you learn moves and you'd be able to become a good chess player. The problem is that being a healthcare leader, being in medical education these days isn't like the kind of static chessboard. It's a chessboard where the pieces are moving at all times. And so you're trying to figure out what to do. And then you have pieces jumping on the table and jumping off the table. You have your sides moving without your thinking about it. The other side's moving. It's just very complex. And for an individual to be able to process those sorts of things, it takes really stepping back, getting on the balcony, and coaching can be very helpful from that perspective.
Okay, so you've coached a lot of people. What are some common things that you see that we're doing wrong, that leaders screw up, that you've been able to help with coaching?
The common things that almost everyone wants to be coached about are, so number one is delegation. Like everyone is busy and they're trying to figure out how they scale. And they've moved from, being student, or they've moved to now being resident or whatever. And so now how do I get everything done? And so that includes delegation. And so how to learn about how to delegate and how to approach it in a way that makes them effective. Second thing is everyone generally has someone who's emotionally hooking them. So someone who is, I don't care what you say, I do what I want. And so how do you respond to that? Like, how do you approach to that in a way while you are at yourself emotionally hooked? How do you do it constructively?
Oh, man. help me.
Yeah, totally. Indeed. Totally. I think those are the two big things. And then just, you know, they have this big goal. They want to get some stuff done, or they want their career to, they want to move from here to there. And so how to best do that. The interesting thing is that doesn't change. These topics don't necessarily change when I'm coaching a CEO versus coaching, a resident. We're all, as humans, we're all pretty similar in the things that we're facing.
So is this something that I should be doing as an educator, or like, is this something I should find a coach for myself, or should I be coaching my residents, should colleagues? Like, what's the difference here between like the professional coaching you talked about and then like coaching of your friends, your colleagues, your mentors, et cetera?
Yeah. So, and I think there's, again, kind of set this up in two different ways. So one is coaching as like a lifestyle or a way of thinking and a way of being. And so there's a language and structure of coaching, which as we learn to be in an organization, we're actually helping individuals develop, helping them develop from where they are as opposed to where organizationally I want them to develop. I mean, that's a whole language instruction. I think you can see how positive that would be from an education perspective, to be able to help nurture, mentees, to be able to help nurture the student, resident, chairs, all these sorts of things, to just have an organization that moves from that approach. So that's one thing. The second thing then, so now given that, like, what do we do as individuals? And I think we can learn the language and the structure, and I think we can adopt kind of a coaching style. But maybe we also, it'd be helpful for us at times to have a professional coach that kind of helps us work through things. Now, for myself, I think one of the most valuable things I do is think about how I think. And so I meet with someone on a weekly basis just to think about how I think and kind of get an idea of where my blind spots are, you know, where I'm getting hooked emotionally, how I might approach situations in different ways. And I find it very helpful. The difficulty here is, as you look at professional coaching, you know, we can't all afford a coach. And so, and also, like, is coaching, you know, you hear me talking about it, but is it really that helpful? I mean, is it just a bunch of smoke? right? And
yeah.
And how do we scale it? And how do we teach it? And what stuff is a bunch of crap? And what stuff is actually the real stuff? And how do we develop a science around this as opposed to just, dream catchers and talking about feelings?
So what is the science behind it? I mean, is there a literature base? Is there a theory? Where does this all come from?
This is one of these things that if you look across, for instance, like, you know, Fortune 100 companies, you know, CEOs of those companies, you know, boards, they all have coaches, right? And so this is something in education, as you look at teachers who are teaching students in universities and even high school classes and stuff, they'll have coaches as part of that. So there's good literature out there. There's good science out there that has shown that it improves well-being and it improves their leadership style. It improves their ability to attain goals. For example, how does this translate to medicine? And as we're looking, as we're a Mayo Clinic and we're trying to figure out, okay, do we give coaches to every doctor? You know, what's the expense of that? What's useful? Or maybe we don't need individual coaches. Maybe we approach it from more of a group coaching approach and the language and structure of that. And so is that helpful? And how much better is that than individual coaching? And then how do we assess that? Like, how do we assess someone's well-being? How do we assess burnout, right? How do we assess our ability to achieve goals? All these sorts of things are things that we need to look at. And, you know, we're going to do a lot of dumb stuff as we're developing the science. But I think it's something that does need to be, it needs to be developed. And I think, you know, looking forward, there's the quantitative aspect of it, which is, you know, the assessments and how you're scoring and do these things make sense, but also the qualitative, like the grounded theory work, which is how do we actually think? How does an individual who's out of fellowship and residency in their first few years, how do they think about what they do? What are the common difficulties they're having? And there isn't a lot of good stuff out there on that. But moving forward, I think, you know, as we're talking virtually, we can think that this qualitative research stuff is going to come easier. Our ability to transcribe what we're doing, to keep track of what we're doing, to analyze this with the software that, you know, we use. This is going to be a big boom, I think, for education.
Yeah, I do most of my qualitative interviews for my research on Skype, and then I send it to a gentleman in Africa who transcribes it. Cool. And sends it back. It's very interesting. Okay, so I'm following you here. But let's get practical. You know, you talked about how Mayo is kind of wrestling with these questions. about what coaching looks like. And I don't have, I have very little experience with it. So like, walk me through some examples, either from Mayo or wherever, what this looks like in the real world.
Right. So every individual here, every department chair gets a coach. Our CEO has a coach. This is just one of the things. So you take an individual who has high achievement, and they have high achievement from walking in rooms, I mean, really, and making good diagnoses, creating a study question, and then, you know, kind of running things out. But now you're now standing in front of a department of, you know, tens of to hundreds of physicians. And how do you do that? A coach can be very helpful for them to just to think about how to switch kind of from the kind of superhero using personal power and what I think should be done to being more of the servant leader, to be able to step back and actually start to, you're getting coaching, but how to approach your department from a coaching perspective. And here our chair, we're looking at the burnout of departments, and we think the chairs are in some ways responsible for that. Now, it's not all on the chairs and by any means, but you look at how do we create leaders that affect well-being, burnout, people's ability to get things done. And so that's one thing. But
let
also
jump in. That's really interesting to think about the effect on wellness, because that's such a big issue in our specialty now. Mm-hmm. That coaching might be able to have an impact on that. It's fascinating.
And then, you know, I think the first thing that people often think about is coaching, and is, you know, the neurosurgeon gone wild who's yelling at people. Right, right. And so that's also a good use for coaching is, you know, you have really, you know, smart individuals, and they're just not framing the world in some ways in the best ways. And to be able to have someone like a coach who can step aside, who doesn't have an agenda, who can just help them kind of in some ways teach them about some of the drivers of it, in some ways kind of mentor what might happen, and in more ways coach like how they can get what they actually want done can be very helpful.
Yeah, I think we would all vote for that.
Totally.
Several consultants.
Totally.
So that's kind of from the professional side. What about the, you know, you mentioned earlier this quote unquote coaching approach, like things that I could do without formal training in this. So what would that look like for an individual or a group or an organization?
Gotcha. So I think one of the things to always be considering is, you know, as we're sitting around a meeting or we're you know, basically in any situation, it's so easy for us to get like, oh, I know what to do. And as we're sitting around a meeting and someone says something, like, we all have opinions. Some things are technical. Again, going back to like, they're simple. There's things to learn. But some things are actually very complex. And as we're running our meetings, we may set aside 10 minutes to talk about something that is extremely complex and then ask for individuals to come to some conclusion. And it just doesn't work. And so a coaching perspective would say to stand back and say, you know, this is actually an adaptive, very complex issue. It's not going to be discussed in 10 minutes. So how do we just structure our meetings in a way that allows us to understand kind of the different realities that people are experiencing? How do we then from that and only after that start to think about the options that we have? And then only after that, we start to think about now, which of those options are we going to take? When generally we walk into meetings and we just jump to options and action, the coaching kind of mindset would say, okay, let's kind of understand our current reality, our shared current reality first.
Yeah, that's really interesting. What about also, like, what about within the clinical education context? What if, you know, there's a resident that you're not getting through to with the trip, you know, traditional, whatever we learn about mentorship, which is not much, and we're doing our best based on what, you know, we learned from faculty at some point in our career about how we should probably approach this resident or deal with this issue.
Right.
Are there some insights from coaching, you know, with regard to that relationship also?
Yeah. And so I do some of that coaching too. So if there's a resident who's having issues and is, you know, there's still issues there. And from a coaching perspective, one of the first things I do, I mean, what I want is the best thing for them. And what the best thing for them may be that they open up a surf shop in St. Paul, Minnesota, right? That may be like the idea. Now,
sure.
As a coach, I'm going to still question them. But I think to be able to approach someone from who they are and what they want, as opposed to first what the programmatic needs are for them, can be very liberating.
Do you guys surf in Minnesota, dude? I mean, Los Angeles, San Diego, I get that.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so where do you see coaching like in the future of medical education? What new frontiers do we need to carve out? What research needs to be done? How can we move the field forward with coaching?
Yeah, so I think first of all, we need people to experience it. And so it's hard to know what coaching is. It's either Bobby Knight or Dreamcatchers unless you've actually experienced it. And so I think that's number one. Number two is for us to start to having a common language and structure about how we're thinking about it. And so if you look in the literature right now, studies about coaching, you know, it's a whole mishmash of stuff. And so we really need to start developing a science around it.
So thank you for your time, Rick. It's great to have you here. I really appreciate your insights in kind of the future of MedEd and how coaching plays into that. How can we get a hold of you, find out more about you and your work?
So Twitter, Dr. R. Winters. So at Dr. R. Winters is one way. I guess just my name, winters.richard@mayo.edu.
Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate your time. Best of luck with the study and all this awesomeness that you're doing.
Thanks, Jeff.
This is the Alium Idea Lab podcast. Alium is a virtually based, not-for-profit medical education startup. You can check us out at alium.com on the interwebs. You can hear other great content from the Alium team at the Alium SoundCloud page. Our theme music is composed by Bobby and Susie, with thanks to Chris Joffrey for the hookup. We can continue this conversation on the Twitters at Alium Team. I'm at Jeff_Riddell. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.